Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, welcome again to our Festival of Hope. If you didn't catch it, my name's Jay. I'm the senior pastor here. And when I was growing up, pastoring was the last thing I thought I'd ever do. And it's amazing how God can take you on a journey. I'm second generation. My mom, who opened up today, why don't you wave? She was the one that started the church in her basement. Not really wanting to, but God knew. God just kept calling her to, and we started in a basement and then went to a basement. Then we, Church of the Living Word, we borrowed that church in the afternoons, and then we went to a bank. So we do banks and bowling alleys. Because we bought a bank in Windsor, and we actually sold that to Parkwood, who's doing an outreach program now, and that's kind of how we got here. So welcome. One of our core things that we love to do, we want people to find hope. First and foremost, we know that hope is in Jesus, but we also feel like as people, we can do things that create hope. Pastor Rob was saying it, sometimes just a hilarious giving, a smile. How many know that we're in a world, and I do ask our congregation a lot, so just today you're part of my congregation or family, but I ask you guys to raise your hand a lot. I don't want it to be one person speaking. I like it to be interactive, but how many realize that we live in a pretty crazy world right now? A lot of stress, yes? Yeah, a lot of stress in our world right now, and it's a world that needs hope, and I believe you're here because you either want hope or have hope, and we all need it. We really do, so I'm just going to speak for just a little bit, and then we're going to go have some really healthy hot dogs. Why are you laughing? We do everything by faith here. Really healthy chips, really healthy Coke. But we really just want to celebrate. We've got some cool blow-up things. What is that, 60 feet? 61 feet our obstacle course, and we got jousting, so we'll be a little competitive after, but... Interesting story I read the other day. This is really interesting. This gentleman by the name of Daryl, this is a true story. Daryl worked in California. I can't remember where it was at, but he worked in California at a place where they would do auditions and just rehearsals and different things. And Daryl was down and out, and he worked there. His job was actually to look after, he was security looking after things. And Daryl was also a thief. And that's a bad combination if you're supposed to look after things and you're a thief. And I'm not sure what he was thinking, but one day he stole four guitars and pawned them. So he took one guitar in the first time and he pawned the guitar, a really nice guitar, and he walked away with $250. And he was pretty excited with that $250. Like he thought $250. But here's the thing that Daryl wasn't actually that smart. True story. What Daryl didn't realize is that he had stole four guitars from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, who was auditioning. They're not auditioning. They were rehearsing there for an upcoming tour. And he didn't know that. So he took Tom Petty's guitar and he sold it for $250. That would easily have gone at the time for $10,000 to $20,000. And I just realized that I didn't know that Tom Petty passed away in 2017. So that guitar would now be worth $300,000. Isn't that crazy? I just think it's crazy that somebody would pay a price for a guitar. Here's the thing. You could walk into the store, grab that guitar, and it's probably worth, let's say it's a $1,000 guitar. Tom Petty touches that guitar, plays a little bit, and now the guitar is worth $10,000. Isn't that crazy? That somebody touches something and it becomes valuable. And I think often about us that sometimes we feel like we're just living a life day in and day out, and you sometimes wonder, is there any purpose? And I think that's why there's a lot of hopelessness right now. I think, what is there, 8 billion people on the planet right now? 8 billion people, all though with different DNA and fingerprints. Each of us unique, but also walking around feeling like at times, what is the purpose? And there's a lot of hopelessness. So I want to dive in. I'm not going to have you read the whole scripture, but I do want to read one scripture before I dive into a story. Can you turn with me to Psalms 139? If you have a Bible, you can have a Bible app in your phone. That's really cool. You can do that as well. We encourage people to do UVersion Bible app. You can have a Bible here. There's so many ways. What's cool about UVersion is you have all these different types and translations, but no worries. I'm going to read it. If you don't, you might know this scripture. It says, "You made all the delicate." This is Psalm 139. I should have said that. Verses 13 to 16. I did? Wow, I did it so fast. I didn't even know I did. Psalm 139, 13 to 16. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Turn to your neighbor. This is the active part, and say, "I always knew you were wonderfully complex." Some of you really are wonderful and complex, or wonderfully complex. I'm not sure which one it is. "Your workmanship," continue reading, this is the NLT, "your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion." I think that's so amazing. God watched you being formed when nobody else knew it was happening. Before your mom even knew she was pregnant, God was watching you be formed. And maybe you're here and you're like, "I don't even know if I believe in God." And I totally respect and honor that. But I'm just reading what we call the word of God. And the reality is that he is saying to you that he actually knew you before you were born. And when you were being put together in your mother's womb, he was watching even though nobody else knew. That's pretty awesome. That makes me feel special. I hope it makes you feel special. It says, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was rendered in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And then it says this, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." What? Now, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how rough it's been. It says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." You know, it's interesting, as a pastor, I try to be as honest and upfront as I can with our family and our congregation. There are moments that I literally am leading worship and I'll get a thought of where I made a mistake, and literally the devil, the enemy, wants to come in and just hound me on that. And I had to learn to go, "Wait a minute, how precious are the thoughts of the Lord towards me?" But man, there was a season, I could tell you, that there are times I would want to run off the stage because I would think of everything while I'm singing a song about God's goodness, and then I would have a thought about all the things that I didn't do right that week. Anybody ever have that moment where you're trying to tell somebody how good and God's good, and then you're like, that little thing in your head, it's like the devil on your shoulder. You know, you didn't do that well. You yelled at your kids, blah, blah, blah. And I've had to learn to go, no, actually, and this is really what the message is about. No, God's thoughts for me are pretty precious. His thoughts for me are precious. Just to finish it up, it says, "I can't even count them." So if you don't get anything else, I want you to walk away today with this. Whatever you've heard about God, if you've heard he's an angry God and he's mad at people, I need you to know, contrary to times what people have told you, is that God actually loves people. He loves people. He doesn't always like what we do. Do you love your kids? Like, do you love your kids when they're swearing at you? You know, if my son and daughters were swearing at me, I wouldn't be like, "I love you so much. Let's hug." No, I get upset too. But I don't hate my kids. I love my kids. Love my kids, and God loves us. And not only that, he actually has really good thoughts for us. He has good, and it says so many good thoughts, he can't even count them, can't even number them. So that should actually bring us hope right there, shouldn't it? That there's a God that actually loves us and has good thoughts about us. It brings me hope again. So what I'd like you to, we're gonna put a slide up right now just of stars. How many have a chance, if you could, Francois, at the back. Next one, just at the stars. How many love to go camping? Anybody love to go camping where you can see the stars? My kids love that. And they will, like, now that they're older, they'll just take off and stay out till 2 a.m. when they're in the pinery, just because they love to sit and look at the stars. You know, it's incredible the amount of stars that are in our solar system alone. And I would love, honestly, love to be able to see stars like that. Here's the crazy thing. If you live in the city, how many know that you walk outside and don't see that at night? Right? What do we have? It's called light pollution. Absolutely, light pollution. We could have light pollution. You could walk out on a day. I think everybody in this area, we got to see the eclipse. There were no clouds for anybody, right? I think the whole area got to sleep. That was my, like, oh my gosh, we have an eclipse coming. And I was so worried that there was going to be clouds. But listen, right now, if I said, go and show me the stars, you could walk outside. Would you see any stars? You don't see any stars. Are the stars there? They are there. When there's light pollution, you can't see the stars, but the stars are still there. When you have clouds, you can't see the stars, but the stars are still there. When you have a day, when it's daytime, the stars are still there. I want you to remember that as we talk about this story quickly, because what we need to know is in these times, and church, we have people going through tough times. We have gone through a tough time. We lost somebody dear to us in the spring. Two people dear to us in the spring. We have somebody that's battling cancer right now. We are not immune. We would love to tell you that if you come to this church, you're immune from all problems. Ryan, would you like that? You're laughing hilariously. So we would love that, all of us. But the reality is that we all walk through tough times. And what I'd like you to know is even though we're walking through tough times, that just like these stars, this is my point, God is still there. And we've had to, as a church, grab a hold of that. God is still there in these moments. I've had to grab a hold of that as a pastor. God is still there in these moments. He is still there. Even though this is really the whole point of it, even though when I walk outside and I can't see it because it's cloudy, even though I walk outside and there's light pollution, God is still there. Real quick, I just want to share a story. I picked a story that most of us would know, because whether you know the story or not, there's musicals about it. Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's not quite the biblical version, but it is still the story. How many know of Joseph? Raise your hand if you know of Joseph. If you don't know of Joseph, Joseph is this young guy who has a dream. His father's Jacob. He has a dream that one day, that he doesn't quite understand it, but he has a dream that one day, he sees these things bowing down and he figures, well, my parents are going to bow down. My brothers and sisters are going to bow down. I'm going to rule. That's not a really good dream you want to tell your parents and your brothers. But he does it anyway. He's not the most brilliant kid. He's kind of like Daryl. He tells the dream and his brothers begin to despise him. This is a biblical story. This is, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, the stories in the Bible are all perfect. Have you read the Bible? Have you read some of the horrible things that happened? Because Joseph, he goes through and his brothers all go to take care of the sheep. And his dad one day says, Joseph, your brothers are out there. Why don't you go check on them, see how they're doing? And while Joseph is coming towards them, the brothers conspire and they're like, this guy's a jerk. Like, our brother thinks he knows more. This is my rendition of it. I'm just, you know, this is somewhat of a Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat. But they're like, he's a jerk. We don't like him. Let's get rid of him. They want to kill him. These are people of God. They're like, let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. Finally, one of the brothers is like, no, we're not going to kill him. Let's not shed blood. Let's stick him in a hole and let's just let him die that way. Let's not shed blood. They're like, all right, sounds good to me. The other brother actually wanted to come back and save him. That was the point of sticking him in the hole. So they stick Joseph in a hole. So first of all, betrayed by your family, betrayed by your brothers. How many know your dream, that cloud is starting to come over the stars, your dream, right? And so he's stuck in a hole. And then this caravan comes by and they're like, oh, a caravan, we can even do one better. Let's sell them and make some money. So they give Joseph to a caravan. The caravan goes away with Joseph, and he has a God dream. So already, I can't imagine. The Bible does not talk a lot about what Joseph was going through, but if I'm Joseph and I have a dream, this is not the dream I'm thinking of. This is not how I thought it was gonna go. It's his stars, his dream, and storm clouds are coming over his dream. Light pollution over those stars. He cannot see his stars, his dream anymore. It gets worse if you know the story. He's sold to Potiphar, and he's in Potiphar's house, and it sounds great, but he's a slave in Potiphar's house. He cannot leave. He's a slave. God has favor on him. It's amazing. God has incredible favor. And Joseph begins to run all of Potiphar's house. Favor. Now, if you know the story again, Potiphar's wife takes interest in Joseph, but Joseph wants to be a moral man. And Joseph, when she one day corners Joseph and says, listen, Potiphar's gone. Let's you and I, let's have at it. And Joseph's like, no, I'm not. No, come on, let's have it. And she pursues him and pursues him and pursues him. And finally, one day, she grabs him and he runs out, but she grabs his cloak, his tunic, and he runs out literally in his underwear. And so she's so angry at him, she begins to say, oh my God, he tried to rape me. You know, this guy's terrible. And so they grab a hold of him. Potiphar comes home and he's like, you tried to rape my wife. And no, all this unfolds. I didn't try. And so they throw him in prison. Like, this is a crazy story. He has a dream of ruling, and he goes from dreaming of ruling to, my brothers want to kill me. Now I'm being sold off to slavery. Now I'm a slave and running somebody's house. Now I'm being falsely accused. Now I'm in a dungeon, and I won't describe the dungeons, but they're not like our prisons. They're not pretty. He's in a dungeon. Interesting enough, he has favor again. So much favor that the one that rules the dungeon begins to go, Joseph, man, like, you are good at this. I'm going to put you in charge of the whole dungeon. Like, wherever he goes, he has favor. So he gets put in charge of the dungeon. Runs things, rules things. It's amazing. And then one day, the baker and the butler show up. They're in prison because they did something wrong. They have a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. They're like, man, if we get out of here, oh, by the way, one of them gets their head cut off. That's not a good dream. Can you imagine delivering that dream? You're gonna be restored. You're gonna have your head cut off. Sorry about that. Good for you though. That's a terrible dream, but that's exactly what happens. But he tells him, he says, listen, when you get restored, can you remember me? He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I will remember you. So the gentleman gets restored. Guess what he does? Forgets about him. Dream, you know, going to be killed, thrown in a hole, sold into slavery, Potiphar's house, accused of rape, gets put into prison, gets forgotten about again. Like, this is not like 3 months. This is years upon years where he's going through all this. So I go back to my analogy of the stars that, you know, light pollution is coming in because all his hopes and dreams, what he is thinking about, is all vanishing. Clouds and storm clouds are coming in. He can't see the stars. He can't see God. And yet the whole time he's like, I'm gonna believe, I'm gonna believe, I'm gonna believe. I can't imagine that for years that he's in a dungeon and he's still going, I'm gonna believe, I'm gonna believe. One day Pharaoh, because he's in Egypt now, Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can seem to interpret it. But the one guy remembers that there's a guy in prison that can interpret dreams. I think it's like 30 years, 20. I don't remember what it was. Any scholars remember how long it was. It was like years that he was stuck. 13. Thank you, scholars. I'm gonna go with that. Do we want a debate? Anybody else? Do I hear 18? 13 years. 13 years. You know what? How long? A year would be a long time. 13 years. So he gets called to interpret the dream. He interprets the dream. And Pharaoh thinks he's so amazing. Pharaoh's like, this, how could you be so smart? And then he's like, what would you do? And Joseph gives his response. This is what I'd do, blah, 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 blah. And he says, listen, you are so full of wisdom that I'm going to put you in charge. You will be second in command in my kingdom. You will only be lower than me. And there is his dream. I think in that moment, I think of these stars, you know, and here's a great picture. Thank you, Francois, for putting that up before and after. This is, you know, in the county, if you shut off all the lights, all of a sudden you can see the stars that are there. I can imagine 1 minute before he's sitting in prison and he cannot see God or the stars. And in 1 second, God comes in and transforms it. Now, it is 1 second for him, but how many know it was 13 years? 1 second to us, it literally is like you turn the page and you're like, oh, there's God. He restores it. Good, story's ending. It's like year after year, 13 years of, Lord, are you still there? Are you still there? Are you still there? And all of a sudden, he can see the stars again. Oh my gosh, there they are. God's still alive and he's still real. It's absolutely crazy. There's a scripture, if you could go back to it, Francois. This is probably one of my favorite top five scriptures that I fall in love with. It says, now may the God of hope. So interesting enough that in this, the writer is saying he's the God of hope. He's not the God of anger. He's not the God of wrath. There's a New Testament and a cross that took care of his wrath. It says, the God of hope fill you. So it's like filling up a cup. What does he want to fill you with? This is what I want you to know today. He wants to fill you with joy and peace. He wants to fill you with joy and peace. Turn to your neighbor, if you feel to, for me, my sake, say, do you want some joy and peace? Like, okay, be real with me. If you could go to the store and you could buy joy and peace, how many would go for that? You know, you go to Costco, you're like, I'd like some joy and some peace. How many would be buying it? We would. But we have a God that says, I want to fill you with joy and peace. Now, I want you to notice something. It says, in believing. That's really, really important to notice that. It says, I want to fill you with joy and peace in believing. And then it goes on, we'll come back to that you may abound in hope. That word abound means overflowing, more than enough. Like you're like a gusher. How many have had hope like that in a long time, or joy and peace? When's the last time you had joy that was like, pff? Anybody remember a time? You got some times, good. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to take notice for a minute of that word in believing. Promise you I'm almost done, but not yet. I want to tell you a quick story. My church knows this well. I went through a very short season like Joseph, but not quite. I can say that maybe other moments have been longer, but I went through a health crisis about 7 years ago where just through a series of events between something that was happening internal and then the doctors trying to figure out, so they put me on tons of antibiotics. I had a reaction to the antibiotics. I was already having some anxiety in my life, but when they did this, it totally messed up my inside, like totally destroyed it, because they just kept doing it. That's all they knew to do. And what happened basically is I went from being a type A personality where I liked a little bit of anxiety. You know, Pastor Rod would, you know, we'd have youth conference and he'd be like, okay, here we go. We're having a conference. I get some good stress going and we'd take off. But I had this hit me and it literally knocked me off my feet. I kept trying to work. We had type A personality. I thought it'd be great to do two conferences back to back. I thought that would be wonderful. We did our youth conference, which is so full of energy. And we just, man, we totally changed this place. And we do 3 days and impact young people. And already at that point, I was like, I don't know if I can make it through this. It was bad. And then we had a marriage conference 2 weeks later. And I was not sleeping since February, and this is in March. I would get a couple hours of sleep a night if I was lucky. I don't know if I was telling people fully what was going on. And we hit that marriage conference. I was done. I couldn't put sentences together. I couldn't put thoughts together. And then at one point after the conference, I crashed. My insides were done. My anxiety was through the roof. I remember sitting so clearly that day on your chair at the time you were still a senior pastor. And I remember going, I can't, I'm done. I've got nothing. So literally I was having, in terms of breakdown, because of all that was happening. My thought life went through went down. It was destroyed. I began to think, you know what catastrophic thinking is? Anybody ever heard that term? It's the worst thing you can think of, right? If it's raining out, a catastrophic thinker would be like, it's not raining, it's a hurricane. Like, and I could tell you stories that are hilarious, but I will not today. Just of things where my brain was going, and I started to think I had every ailment possible. I'm dying. And in some way, I was dying little by little. I could have kept going. To make a long process shorter, one day, just to back up, what was happening is, can you go back to that one picture again? I couldn't see any stars anymore. Like, I love to travel. I couldn't even imagine if I was ever gonna travel again or go on a trip with my wife. Forget about working. I had to take time off work. Forget about, like, with my kids, they were helping take care of things because I would try to do something around the house and I was done. Like, I could not see my God or my stars or my dreams anymore. I remember, literally, Rod came over one day, Pastor Rod. He's an associate pastor here and does an amazing job with the kids. He came over, and I remember, I'll never forget, you walked through the door and you went, it smells like a hospital in here. It smells like death. And it's funny, I wasn't dying, but what he was picking up was your thoughts are killing you. Like, you're all that's going on, because I was like, I'm gonna die, I'm going to die. And I made a point that day that I had to change the story that I was telling myself. Because I was telling myself every day, I can't see the stupid stars anymore. I can't see, where's God? Does God exist? I'm going to die. I have every problem in the world. I'd go to the doctors. I finally started to take my wife to the doctors because he would say, well, let's get some blood work done. And I would hear, I'm gonna die. And literally Krista would be with me and she'd be like, that's not what he's saying. Literally, she's like, I couldn't even think, I couldn't hear straight, I couldn't see the stars. So I made a decision that day. I made a decision to begin to write down things, even though they weren't true in my mind, I had to start thinking, I had to start remembering the stars, even though I couldn't see the stars. So what it looked like to me, because remember that scripture, go back to that scripture, it said, the God of hope wants to give you joy and peace in believing, and I was believing, but I was believing all the wrong things. What was I believing? I'm gonna die. God's not here. God doesn't love me. I can tell you, I was weeping on the couch one day. I sent the kids up for dinner. I was bawling, and all I was saying is, God, where are you? Where are you? I can't feel you. I can't see you. I'm a pastor, for Pete's sake. Couldn't. So I got my journal out one day and I started to write down, journal, not my gerbil. I didn't get my gerbil out, got a journal out. I'm not sure what you said, but she thought it was funny. I got my gerbil out and I started to speak to my gerbil. I wrote in my journal, my body is healthy. Didn't feel it at all. My body was not healthy. You're like, you're just psychology. No, I wrote out, I will be healthy again. I believe God is still here even though I don't feel it. And I started with three, I think, that day. And I'm like, I don't feel this, but I'm gonna make these declarations. And I would get up the next day and I would make those declarations. God is still with me. God is still for me. And then I'd write another one. I had three pages by the time it was done. And it says, in believing, I had to remind myself, I can't see the stars, but the stars are still there. I can't see God, but God is still there. I can't feel God, but God is still there. And every day I'd wake up, and honestly, it started with me, oh my God, I'm gonna be healthy again. My body will come back to life. My intestine, my colon, all that will work. And every day, and I got to a point, and it's interesting, I went to the doctors and he's like, Jay, you gotta start working out again. I'm like, working out? I've lost 30 pounds. How could I work out? He's like, you just gotta start. So I took my declarations and these little weights, and I'm like, start working out. But I started to do my declarations. And then one day I thought, I'm going to take this to the next level. So I got my phone and I'm like, Rocky, Eye of the Tiger. Dun, 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 dun. And I literally began to do that. And little by little, my believing began to produce joy and peace. Because as I made these declarations, I began to go, oh, I see a star. I remember the one day, it was actually Rod, you said, one day you're going to feel you again. And I remember one day I had a moment, I'm like, for this brief moment, I feel me again. And it was like I saw a star. And it, you know, brief moment, and then the clouds went back, but I'm like, oh, they're still there. The stars are still there. And I just kept going after it. And it wasn't that I was trying to tell myself, I was trying to remember who I was and remember and remind God, remind me of who God was. And I did it over and over and over. And I have found myself in the season that we're in, reminding myself, I don't understand what happened because we lost somebody dear to us, but God is still here. God is still real. God still wants to heal. God still wants to set people free. God still wants to be involved in people's lives. Maybe you're here today and that's what you're like, I don't talk to God anymore. God and I don't talk because you've gone through something like I did. Or maybe you just never talked to God and you're like, I don't know. I've heard so many things growing up. I don't even know if I believe in God. I've been there. Trust me, I can honestly say I've been through the whole gamut. And sometimes I find myself like faith, laying hands on somebody and they get healed. And sometimes I'm like, is God real today? I've been through the whole gamut. But I can also tell you that I've lived moments where I'm like, I don't know. And those moments where I lose my anchor of faith are scary moments. Because I know when I'm holding on to something, even though it's a little dark, I can't see, it is way better to hold on. Like Joseph, I read that because I don't know what you've been through, but like Joseph, I'm sure those stars at different points have gotten cloudy. You can't see, you can't believe, you're not sure. I wanna let you know that just like me and many people in this room, God still has precious thoughts for you. I started with the whole guitar thing because whoever holds that guitar brings value to that guitar. And we read a scripture about God knowing you before you were even born and has precious thoughts. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but the only way that we could find a place in heaven was through somebody dying. And in the Old Testament, if you have ever read this, it was all about sacrifices of lambs and bulls and goats. But Jesus, the Son of God, has this crazy idea. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna send my son to die for everybody else's sins, not his. It's a complicated story that I can't get into if you don't know it at all, but you need to know that Jesus loves us so much that he actually died on a cross for us. I shared the other day about Bill Ford, Ford's grandson, Henry Ford's grandson, buying the train station in Detroit. He bought it for $93 million and then put $1 billion already into it. And when I say those numbers, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. And then I realize, how much more is a death on a cross worth more than all that? Of the one that created the stars, by the way, he died for you and me. And he says he has precious thoughts. So I don't know if you knew it or not, but God's like, I actually love you and I have thoughts for you and they're really good thoughts. But you don't know what I'm going through. I know, I actually do know what you're going through, but I have really good thoughts for you. And some of the stuff that's happened in your life are not the things that I designed. I didn't plan them. There is a devil. If you read the Bible, there is an enemy and he has things that he's planned for you, but God has things that he's planned for you. And in those moments where you lose hope, sometimes you gotta go back to, I'm gonna believe even though I can't see the stars. This is the truth, not what I feel right now. And it is no different than walking outside and you go, there's stars up there. And if nobody had ever heard of stars, they'd be like, no, there's not, it's blue. No, no, there's actually stars above you. You may not know it, but there are stars above you. I'm gonna close with this story. I got 2 minutes. I heard a cool story the other day. I met a gentleman who was from Jamaica. I love this story. I don't know anything about his belief system, but I love this story because he was from Jamaica. When he was 6 months old, his mother left him in his room and walked out the door. Nobody was home. The gentleman that was telling me the story about himself, he said, you know, a six-story house? He says, yeah, six-story house. He said, every bedroom had a family in it. Not a person, a family in a six-bedroom house. So somebody heard and came over to see what was going on and picked up the baby, and she began to take care of it that day. The husband came home, and he, you know, where'd my wife go? It's traumatic. And so they made kind of like this thing. He's like, I'll take care of the baby during the day. You go to work. And they tried it for a while, and it just wasn't working out. And so this lady who already, I believe, had seven children, she said, listen, I will take your baby and raise it for you because you can't. In a house with six bedrooms, with a family in each bedroom, with seven kids already in that bedroom. So this woman took this young child, which was him. I think he's in his 60s now. And she began to raise him like his own, her own. And as she raised him, she put in, I'm not saying this scripture, she put in belief into him. In Jamaica, in poverty, that you can do it, you can go do things. There's a better life for you. And he began to believe in that very thing. She taught him how to sew, cook, clean. She taught him how to take care of himself, go to interviews. And by the time he was 18, she had to move away. And she said, listen, I've done all I can do. I love you as your mom, but it's time for you to go. He got into the hotels and resort business. And when he got into these businesses, everywhere he went, he didn't want to just do that position. He said, I got into that position, but in my spare time, I did every other position so I can learn because my mom taught me to do that. If I was on cleaning, I also did this and this. And he learned to do every position, and lo and behold, he went through every rank. And then one day, he moved to Canada, and he started to work at Amazon, and he did the same thing, although when he got hired at Amazon, he was in a much higher position. But in his spare time, what did he do? He went back to every position, and he learned it. This day, today, he's now a coach, consultant. He's a teacher. He's a mentor. He's the nicest guy from Jamaica that I've ever met. I don't know many people from Jamaica. What's my point? What you believe changes everything. Because he says the same people in those houses, some of them are dead, some of them, you know, are. He had a belief system that changed everything. So as I close today, I want to encourage you. I don't know what your belief system is, and I don't know what you're going through, but all I know is that there is a God who has precious thoughts towards you. And if you can't see the stars in your life and your dreams right now, I'm telling you that they are still there. I don't know anybody that God did not design to have a future and a good future. We just go through, pardon me, crap in this world that gets it really messy. So if you did not know it, Jesus loves you. And he wants to come into your life and begin to heal the things that you've gone through. I only told you a bit of my story, and there's so many other stories here. I went through things, I had things, and I'm still going through things and trying to sort things out as a pastor. But I want you to know that today you can begin to change your belief and go, okay, I don't know if I can buy in fully, but I do believe there must be something out there. There must be a God. And I encourage you, if you're just starting there, to go after it and begin to look. Begin to dive in and go, I'm going to just try to meet this God. Maybe you need to come to church. Come back to our church. We'd love to see you again. Maybe for you, you're like, okay, I know Jesus, but I stopped believing. I stopped thinking there were the dreams out there for me. I'm going to start picking up those dreams again. Maybe you need to get a journal and start to go, I'm going to mark down and I'm going to believe again the truth about my story. Because I had to change my story, and that story that I changed, changed my life. Literally changed my life. Maybe you're here and you're like, everything's great. That is awesome. And you're on assignment to bring hope to somebody else. We're a church full of hope. If you need prayer at any point, you can come up even after the service. I will pray for you. But I just wanted you to know today that there is a better future and a Jesus that loves you. Why don't you stand? I'm going to pray for you, and then Pastor Rod has announcements of how we're going to do this whole thing. But one of the things that I love to do as a pastor of this house, especially when you stand, I have to go a little taller. I get to be a father, and I get to bring blessing to you. And so whatever way you want to receive that, you can close your eyes. Some of our people just love to raise their hands when we pray. But Lord, I pray a blessing upon every person here. As the father of this house, Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would fill them. Lord, I pray that you would help them wherever they're at right now. Lord, whatever they're going through, God, would you be so real to them that they begin to know that you are there. I pray, Father God, those that are so clouded over with the pain, so clouded over, they've been betrayed like Joseph. They've all these different things. I pray, Father God, that you would begin to heal those situations. Would you bring hope, joy, and peace? Because you are the God of hope. Would you bring that back into their life? I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.